the full of 1 John, to the end of chapter 3 tonight, in the beginning of our meeting. The first epistle of John, and reading the last verse, even the last half of the closing verse in chapter 3. And hereby we know that he, that is God, abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try or test and prove the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. But ye are of God, dear little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We, and I believe the apostle is referring to himself and his fellow apostles, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth, or will listen to us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his precious word tonight. And you may have noticed, for the first time in the letter, I believe, at the end of chapter 3, the beloved Apostle John is led to write concerning the Spirit of God. A blessed truth relating to the Spirit of God. May I repeat with emphasis that all the letter that John has written and written to the family of God has been in respect to their responsibility to get the evidence that they are saved and that they possess eternal life. May I repeat with emphasis all that we have been studying all so far in the preceding chapters have been John's demand or God's demand for the evidence of being saved and having eternal life and being in fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now in our portion tonight, it brings the relationship of the Holy Spirit in respect to who he is and what he is to us in the present world. And you may notice, let me just at the end of that reading, at the end of verse 6, emphasize what he is bringing before us. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. You can take those two words at the end of the last phrase there, the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. And he emphasizes within the world, as we go through it, as his dear children, there is the Spirit of truth, and I'm sure you know who the Spirit of truth is. None but the Holy Spirit, and he's called that by the Lord Jesus in John 16. But the Spirit of error. For there's much error. And there has been, even in the days of John and the early apostles, there was much error creeping into the church, and did creep. And it has abundantly crept in. And today, we can say safely, not only on the conviction of God's word revealing it, but the evidences. There is much today that comes under the title, the spirit of error, meaning wrong teaching. But there is the spirit of truth, none but the Holy Spirit. But note the end of verse 29 in chapter 3. Hereby we know that he that is God abideth in us, dwelleth in us. by the Spirit which He has given us. How do we know God? Look at what John says. Because His Spirit is within us. The Holy Spirit, if you please. We well know from Scripture, unless we have the Spirit of God, we cannot belong to God and be saved. But may I re-emphasize, the moment you and I believed upon the Lord Jesus, the Spirit of God came in us and took His abode with us. You have that? On the authority of the Word of God, Ephesians 1:13, upon believing, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit. The pledge of our inheritance and the redemption that we have received. May I repeat with emphasis? We receive the one who is the Spirit of all truth. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus in John 16. He will guide you, He said, into all truth. And so, how do we know that God is in us? The Spirit of God came in, according to the Word of God. And I tell you, you've got to go by the Word of God, not by the Word of man. He says it. And then also, the Spirit of truth not only reveals that we belong to God, but thank God He dwells in us that we may prove that God lives through us. He came in us in order that God may live through us. And may I emphasize my own need of it and every one of us, please, let us ever remember it is the Spirit of God who with His enablement helps us to go on proving and living, if we will, the God who is dwelling within us. Now look as we go to chapter 4 and recognize with me, first of all, the Spirit of God's twofold witness. Chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit of God, down through verse 3, contrasted with the spirit of Antichrist. In other words, to sum it up, chiefly, there's two leading personalities in the world. One called the Spirit of Truth, the other, the Spirit of Error, or the Spirit of Antichrist. Read verse 2, if I may, or verse 1, rather, through verse 3. Beloved, now note these exhortations. Believe not every spirit. May I pause for just a moment? Please let me say this. It will be developed. You and I do not realize that there are false spirits, evil spirits. I don't mean human beings, but angelic beings led by Satan. And all of his hope. Let me quote the words of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this world, against wicked spirits who are in high and heavenly places. Beloved, please recognize and please take in what Paul wrote there in Ephesians chapter 6. Our warfare is against not flesh and blood. Wicked spirit. But let's read on. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try, meaning prove the spirit whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets. Men who teach, if you please. Just speaking of men that are wicked, morally or immorally, as the case may be. It is speaking of false teaching that is contrary to the Word of God. And let me re-emphasize The whole Word of God is before us as the Word of truth. As the Lord Jesus said in John 17, praying for us to the Father, sanctify them by the truth. And where is the truth? Thy Word is truth. Now please let me reemphasize. All the truth of God, where do you get it? Where should you get it? From His Word. By whom? The Spirit of God. Can I re-emphasize? Not from a man. No matter who the man is. They may come through a man, but the truth in all of its accuracy comes from God through and by the Spirit of God. Whomsoever He may speak through. But from the Word of truth, the Bible. Can I re-emphasize it? Look. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is your only guidebook. And you have to test whatever you hear. Is it according to the Word of God? But let's read on. There are many gone in, out into the world as a false prophet. But hereby know ye the Spirit of God. And this is the test. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now here is the sacred test. A true testimony by the Holy Spirit, through whomsoever it may come, will confess the person of Christ. And it has, and it says here that Jesus, and no, two things about Him. Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and He is of God. Beloved, let me just put it very simply in this way, and how true it is. To test the teaching and the preaching of anyone and everyone, supposedly being given as the truth is to be guided by this book. And, as you have it right here in verse 2, the Spirit of God will confess the person of Christ. And you know, His deity and His humanity, particularly. Jesus Christ is come. Now, no. Where did He come from? Who was He when He came? The Son of God. Equal with the Father. Equal with the Spirit. And His deity is confessed. And then also, that He's a man. That He's come in the flesh. And may I humbly say, and sadly, there is much today in the testimony of Christendom where men preach and deny His deity. And where men deny also His perfect humanity. And beloved, may I say to you, as well as to my own heart, whenever you hear a message that is supposing to be the truth, test it. Is this message exalting the person of Christ in His true character and His true person, the glory of His deity and the perfection of His humanity? Beloved, please let me say, the whole book of the Bible is about Him, and particularly the Gospel, about. Go back with me to chapter 1, please. I remember that back in chapter 1, as the apostle began writing. Let me go back with you into chapter 1. And note in chapter 1 what he wrote, saying in verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's where you have been brought, and I have been brought as God's dear children, into that Son. And look, wherever the person of Christ is not given its proper exaltation and recognition. Well, let's read on in our chapter 4, please. We have in verse 3 the statement that every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Whereof ye have heard, this is that spirit of Antichrist. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. May I point out very carefully again, with no apology for the repetition, there are two sources from which we receive all our teaching, according to what John is writing here. In this world, one is directly from the Spirit of God Himself. The other is from a person who preaches under the spirit of Antichrist. Now, let me remind you that you have in chapter 2, John, when he was writing to the little children in the family, he said there are many Antichrists. And he also emphasized there's one person coming who will be called the Antichrist. But wherever any person is not preaching the truth about the Lord Jesus, he's preaching the spirit of Antichrist, against Christ. But here's the test of it. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now know what John had. Whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. Now look, John wrote a long time ago, nearly 1900 years ago. And may I humbly say, and truthfully, there's more of the spirit of Antichrist manifested today than ever before, even in what is being taught in the realm of Christendom and the test of the profession of Christianity. But now please note something in verse 4 through verse 6, if you please. For I'd like to go on and note what we have here. And please may me emphasize again, before going further, the difference between the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of God. Go back with me to John's Gospel, please, for just a moment. I think you've got a good emphasis that will help us relative when we have to test the spirit who may be speaking. Let me give you the thought. Two sources of the teaching. One, the Spirit of God, the other, the Spirit of Antichrist. They do come through human speaking. But one is of God and the other is unfortunately of Antichrist, as we know. But look with me in John chapter 16. And here's the test that we can know that it is of the Spirit of God. Chapter 16 in John's Gospel, if you please. And I think, if I may read in this 16th chapter, beginning at verse 13. The words of the Lord Jesus as He spoke them. Beginning at verse 13. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. Let me pause for a moment. It's not the preacher, it's not even myself teaching tonight. Who can guide you into all the truth? The Spirit of God. Make sure you're listening for His voice. For why? He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Now note the next phrase. He shall glorify Me. One of the great tests is, when you hear the preacher, when you hear the message, did he glorify the Lord Jesus? And speak well of him. I remember a dear brother some years ago, not too many years ago here, a missionary brother visiting. I recall the ministry that he gave on that occasion to us from the Gospels regarding the life of the Lord Jesus and one portion of it. And my heart was thrilled because all of it proved he was exalting the Lord Jesus in who he was, in what took place in that event in the Savior's life when he was on the earth. And I tell you, I recognized it was the truth. And he exalted the person of Christ. And one of the great tests of what you listen to, whether on the radio, television, name it anywhere, what goes out, please, was Christ exalted. I remember reading of a dear man who, traveling salesman in a strange town, he had to go. On that occasion, he had to spend Sunday there, and he went to a certain church. He didn't know anything about the churches in the town. But he went to one, and he came out disappointed, and he gave the testimony. I never heard Christ's name mentioned. And that's possible. But go back to our chapter in 1 John 4. And I want you to know what in verses 4 through 6, what John goes on to say. Ye, my little children, you're of God. Note in verse 5, please, for a moment. They are of the world. Go to verse 6. We are of God. There are three particular people mentioned here. Ye, to whom John is writing, the children of God. In verse 5, the ones that are false teachers. They are of the world. And then in verse 6, we, meaning the apostles, includes himself, he does it at the beginning of the book. We, the apostles, are of God. I recognize here are three particular people he's referring to. You to whom he's writing, you and I, they of whom he speaks of and writes about, and of himself with his companion of the teachers. Now let's go on look at it together. Ye are of God, little children, and note that ye, and have overcome them. That is they that are and against Christ. Because he is, the greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, beloved, let's think for a moment, please. Who's in the world? What kind of a world is he referring to? Well, let me go very carefully and very thoroughly. You might as well go to the one who's called the prince of this world and the god of this age, none other than Satan himself. He's running the world. We found that in chapter 2. He's the god of this world. He's running the world. The whole world lieth in the hands of the wicked one. You'll find in chapter 5 of this epistle. Look, let me put it this way. Where you and I want to grow in grace and follow the Lord, where do we get our guidance? We don't get it from the world. Not even from the ecclesiastical world, the secular world, the scientific world, the economic... Look! I don't care what educational school and system you may go to in the world. Please! That's not your school and mine. Your school and mine, spiritually, is the Word of God. As one dear lady one time said to me many, many years ago, Mr. Bramwell, what school did you go to? I said, please, sister, don't say that. I'm still in school. And you never graduate down here from the knowledge of the Word of God. But read on. Read on. Little children, you've overcome them because greater, the Spirit of God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan. You remember the Lord Jesus in John chapter 8 and verse 44? how the blessed Lord Jesus told you who Satan was and what he was? A murderer from the beginning and a liar from the beginning. In the preceding chapter of our epistle, John mentioned, no lie is of the truth. And whatever comes from Satan, he's been a liar from the beginning. And in relation to speaking of eternal things, what can Satan say? He can only lead you astray, and will, and has been leading many astray. But please note again the statement in verse 4. But the Spirit of God that is in you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. How blessed are the words of Romans 8, telling us that we overcome through him that loveth us. And beloved, we have many difficulties, but thank God. Let me repeat again. We have a person in the Holy Spirit. He's greater than all that are in the world. Then read further. Then he speaks in verse 5 particularly. They, the false teachers, they're of the world. They haven't been born again. Therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. Plainly, I say lovingly and sadly, there are many today that stand up in pulpits and do their preaching from a worldly standpoint instead of taking the book and the Spirit of God speaking from the Word. But what a joy to read in verse 6 as the apostle goes on to write. We, the apostles, let me say this. Well, let me read it first of all. I want you to know that as we read the whole verse. We are of God. He that knoweth God will listen to us. He that is not of God heareth not us. I know what the apostle means when he says we, the apostles. Now please let me say it reverently. The truth that you and I must follow must come from apostolic teaching. Apostolic teaching. Now let me ask you the question. What kind of men were they? Do you remember in chapter 4 of the book of the Acts? Peter and John were brought before the Sanhedrin. And after they had Sanhedrin listened to them, you know what they decided? They were ignorant men. Unlearned. But they took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. Now please let me say, eloquent. Reputation for being a great speaker doesn't necessarily mean it's the truth of God that they're giving you. But it's only by the Holy Spirit. They were the apostles. Listen, none of the apostles came from any rabbinical school. The blessed person of Christ attracted them. And to him they were drawn, as John says at the early part of his letter. We heard him. We saw him. We gazed upon him. And our hands even handled him. In other words, look, I can't say it more clearly. All the message that you and I need and the help we need is always to have more of Christ. And the truth will always bring us nearer to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we sang that hymn tonight, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am what? The clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while in thy presence ye live and still. And my beloved, please let me say it again. In all your Bible study, in all your prayer meetings, and in all your Bible readings, and Sunday school classes, whatever may be your class, when the Word of God is up, your desire and mind is to know more of Him. Because the apostles teach it. They speak of Him, and they speak of Him well. And then you know what He says in verse 6, the one that knows God will listen to us. You know, when you think of it, if there was an educated man among the apostles, and the only one I could ever say was with the dear apostle Paul, so you read chapter 3 of Philippians, and he said, all that I had before meant nothing. It was but rubbish, till I found Him. I found Him. My beloved, all the truth in the Bible, the doctrines of the Bible, they bring you when you follow them to the person of Christ to know Him better. This is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And then as the apostle goes on, he that knoweth God will listen to us. And I say this, my beloved, bluntly, to your heart as well as to mine. Let us listen to the apostles' teaching. Not the teaching of mere men. Test the teaching of man. The best of them. Please go back to verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but test, try, prove the spirits whether they are of God. And I say lovingly, you and I have every responsibility to test the preaching of anyone and everyone. Is it according to the truth? Now go to the end of verse 6. He that is not of God heareth not us. They won't follow the apostles' teaching. And if you want my humble opinion, there's one beloved apostle, many will not follow, even some Christians. And that's the teachings of the apostle Paul and his great doctrine. But at the end of the verse, is the substance. In this way know we what? The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. To sum it all up, what I hear in my teaching, what I find from my teaching and whatever teaching I get, wherever whence I may get it, does it honor and exalt the person of my blessed Savior? Second, does it agree with the teaching of the apostles? That's all. And surely John, you know, sometimes I've often thought John must have been from Missouri. He kept saying, show me that you have eternal life. Show me that you have eternal life. And here's one of the evidences. We listen only to the voice of the Spirit of God and the teaching of that blessed Spirit through His servant. Shall we pray? Beloved Father, we thank Thee. Oh, we must say, Lord, in the words of an old hymn, all hail to the Father, all hail to the Son, all hail to the Spirit, blessed three in one. We are saved by the blood of the two crucified ones. And Father, we thank Thee for the Spirit of God. We bless Thee. We know we're saved. For we cannot be saved if we don't have Him. But when we have trusted Christ, Thy word says He comes in. Any man that knows not the Spirit of God knoweth not Christ, is the sum of Thy precious word in Romans 8. But everyone that believes upon the Lord Jesus Christ receives the Spirit of God. Oh, we pray for the young believers and our young Christians, Lord, who have confessed the Lord Jesus. May they realize they've got a teacher, a revealer, who knows everything and who can teach them and guide them into all truth and will never lead them away by the spirit of error. And we ask that for each one of us tonight in Thy company as we bow. Lord, we ask it for our little assembly as a whole. Lead us by the Spirit of God, according to the truth of thy word, and we'll glorify the Savior as we should. We ask it in the Savior's name, giving thanks. Amen. Amen.